Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my amazingly festive and dressed to the nines festive co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight in your black turtleneck sweater? I am wearing a Santa shirt.
It's got a zipper thing. I don't know what the hell to call this thing.
I think they call it like a fleece pullover.
Yeah, something like that. I'm
old
cold.
Navy,
leave me alone.
Old Navy weirdo guy thing.
I'm cold.
But I definitely think that.
Untap up, keep in draw.
I think that's what we're in for. So we have some news. First of all, let me apologize for not being on the air the last 2 weeks, guys. Well, we didn't record Monday, so it's more like 10 days. I caught the Black Death last week. I was just sicker than sick. Which is funny. And then, you know, this week, actually, my daughter has it. And my wife, I'm like, listen, can I, you know, we have to pay attention to her and, you know, really kind of, you know, she was nothing overly serious, but serious enough. So she was pretty much like, I'm going to need you not to do the podcast. And I was like, okay, no problem. So we haven't had a chance to share some good news, and that's what I really want to start with. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is, and this is a big announcement. It's a very exciting time for Aramis and I. We have, ladies and gentlemen, our first sponsor. Oh, they're doing it twice.
Double tap on the clap.
Yes, but we do have our first sponsor. We are very, very happy to announce that Kerwin's Game Store, with locations in both Catskill, New York, and Poughkeepsie, New York. It's kind of our home store where we go, like, when we go. They are a one-stop shop experience for almost any level of gaming that you can imagine, from card games to board games to Age of Sigmar, all that stuff. They specialize, really, in Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh!, old-school gaming systems like SNES, and they even have a Coleco there, which I keep getting my eye on. And, of course, Magic the Gathering with so much more. For you, our listeners, what Currens has actually done is they've gone ahead and created and extended to our listeners a 5% discount off any online order. So their online store, you go there at kerwinsgamestore.com, pick up anything you might need, and then at the end you put the promo code Planeswalkers, and you'll save 5% on that order. And they would also like us to remind you that they will be having multiple pre-release events for Theros Beyond Death the weekend of January 17th at both of their locations. To get into that and to sign up, and, you know, spots are going fast, especially for Friday night, you can sign up at kerwinsgamestore.com/MTG_pre-release. And we, again, are very happy to be partnering with them. And, you know, they're one of my favorite places to go. So thank you, Kerwins, and, you know, for coming alongside the show. And, you know, it's pretty great. I'm excited. So, I mean, we're at 11 months now. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we're pushing
the But we are in our untap, upkeep, and draw phase. So, of course, I'm going to untap and, you know, open my last Sam Adams clear labeled winter lager because it's green screen.
God, it's the invisible beer.
It's the invisible beer. Look, I have no head. Anyway, down the hatch, you're drinking some sort of 7-Up.
Yep.
And these are hashtag not sponsored, but you know, everything else is. So
yeah, now we are. Now we are hashtag sponsored.
Yeah, actually, Kerwin's is now hashtag sponsored. So, Aramis, it's been a hot minute, man. But how have things been with you? What's going on?
Good. I've been playing a bunch of Arena. I didn't get to go to the last Friday night because I had a holiday party for my wife's job. So
you didn't miss much.
I heard that you didn't quite have the greatest of evenings as far as deck choice is concerned, but we'll get to that.
I did all right, but go on.
But I've played a bunch of Arena. I had a sweet 7-1 draft last night with first pick Garrick, Cursed Huntsman, which was just absurd. He flat out won me 2 games by himself. Played in the Game Awards after party event that they ran last weekend.
I didn't get to do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one a little bit too, because that was a lot of fun, and I think that is a good harbinger of things that could be in Arena's future. Maybe
what's a harbinger?
You know, harbinger. You know, I'm pronouncing words the way I want to. Leave me alone. But it could be a sign of things to come down the road at some point. I'm hoping sooner rather than later. But yeah, good things could be on the horizon for Arena if they keep going down that road. And yeah, it's played a bunch of standard and just had a great time. So doing good.
Well, I did go Friday, and I did. I went in with Jund Sacrifice. A lot of the deck that had won the Mythic Championship. I made some changes. I kept Wrinkle in there because I'm a big fan of that card. However, I mean, and I thought I was really well positioned. I thought with the meta and stuff. Game one, I mean, I just, you know, smack. It was no contest, really. I mean, I came out swinging. The cats are out. The ovens are out. I'm cooking cats. I'm cooking more cats than a Chinese restaurant. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. So I was having a blast with that. Game two, I ended up playing a Golgari Sacrifice deck. And game one, just complete mana screw. Just, you know, I kept a two-land hand, which normally in that deck you kind of can. As long as you draw like third or fourth, you're okay.
So you were doing an impression of playing on Arena where you kept
two. It lands, really felt screwed. Like Arena.
Yep.
It
did. The old two-land keep.
I'm like, okay, I have the oven, I have the cat,
that sounds like
and
a
I have two
hand.
Lands. Yeah, I should
like
be okay.
Snap keep.
Nope. Yep. No, it got awful, and I started to put something together. And it just, you know, I'm like, let's just go to game two. So we go to game two, and it's far more interactive. We're having a good time. I just wasn't getting the draws I needed. He drew a Korvold, or he didn't draw Korvold. He drew a lot of what he needed. I managed to draw things. We made a game of it. We almost went to time. So that was good. Then I ended up playing, I can't remember her name. But it's one of my favorites to play against.
Is it Heather?
Huh?
Heather?
Not Heather, but it's, I think it starts with an A. She's the little younger one
Hannah.
With glasses. Huh?
Hannah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hannah.
Yes.
So I was playing against her. She was playing I forget what she was playing. She wasn't playing Fires, but it was some other deck like in that realm. And I just, she was playing Rakdos Sacrifice. And just she had her foot on the gas the whole game.
Yeah, that deck is the like the hyper aggro version of that, where it's just it's and triggers galore.
She nailed it. You know, took me out two games rather quickly. Game four, I ended up playing one of the younger guys. He was playing I forget the heck of the deck he was playing, but he had no shot really. It was pretty. I had him pretty much on the ropes the whole time. It was a good match. It was fun, but, you know. So I went 2-2. One of our guys went 3-1, surprisingly.
Nice.
Yeah, I was proud of him. Well, what I did this year was I got a booster gift bundle, all right, with 10 packs because I was bringing 8 guys. So I got that. So there's 11 packs in there. So I got, you know, I handed out the packs to all the students. And then I was like, okay, this collector booster. Because, you know, sometimes they don't do as well, and I kind of wanted to encourage them. I'm like, the best record tonight. Best record. And if we get a tie, we'll figure out how to tie break it after that.
Like to the death.
Best record tonight gets the collector booster.
Nice.
There wasn't anything huge in the collector booster. But it was, you know, it was fun to watch them kind of chase it because they were talking like, you know, a few of them were like, well, if I'm playing this deck, I'm just going to concede. I'm like, well, no, I don't want you to do that. So... it was a good time. We really had a lot of fun. Kerwin's actually gave us a ton of... They had, like, I guess, deck boxes and stuff just taking up space downstairs. He brings me a big bag. He's like, do with this what you will. Because of the snowstorm Tuesday, I couldn't... And, you know, Isabel being sick, I came right home. So I didn't have club. But what I'm going to do is when they get back, I'm going to have them all wrapped up. We're going to do, like, a white elephant thing. Because, I mean, there's, like, three binders. You know, like, 8 deck boxes. 2 of them have... you know, sleeves in it. And what I might do is if I get decent, like, rare cards that I know they need that I have 4 or 5 of, I may throw one in each of the deck boxes to be like, you know, because I know, like, Curtis is dying to get his hands on a Robber of the Ridge. And I have 4. So I'm like, no, I'm not trading you. Absolutely not. You know, but if I open one, you know, because Christmas is coming, I'm sure I'm going to open some packs. I'm like, okay, well, then I'll throw one in there. And then he opened, oh, my God, I need that. You know, I want to try to generate for the White Elephant Exchange. I want to try to generate a little bit of, like, you know, I want them to beat each other up for my amusement.
I wish I had known about that because I think I have some extra rares of cards that I'm probably not going to be able to really offload any of the way. I have a couple of extra Hallowed Fountains and stuff like that.
Well, they don't come back till like January 6th, dude. So if we can get together, we should get together anyway. You and I have to. We've got to, you know, we have another announcement that's coming in the next few weeks, and so you and I have to get together to record some of the stuff for that.
Okay.
So we'll figure some time. I mean, I'm off work starting Friday until the 2nd. And let's face it, the 2nd till the 5th, I mean, not much is happening. So, and with that, though, I mean, overall, I mean, that's pretty much our untapped step. We had a good Friday night. I don't think you've gone to a Friday where we haven't analyzed it. And I'm not playing a ton of Arena. I just haven't had the chance.
Well, I mean, it's that time of year, too. I mean, either you have a ton of time or you have no time.
Well, I mean, You're kind of lucky in that you got one kid and he's like five or six, seven now.
Five still.
Yeah, five. Okay. Yeah. Like I got all three now are teenagers. So it's like, God, what do I do here? And then one of them just got back from college, and one of them is laid up in my living, you know, in my upstairs living room here. So it's pretty much been like, you know, hey. So one other thing I've been doing this week is Wendy has decided that Standard wasn't enough. So she's like, why don't you teach me Commander this weekend?
Nice.
So I did. And we started playing with I gave her this Aloro deck that somebody made. That's the white-black. It's the Esper. It's a 6-drop or 5-drop. And it basically, you gain life while it's in the command zone. And then you gain a life when it's out. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you gain a life while it's out, you can spend one and do damage to me and all sorts of fun stuff.
Okay, I see it.
So she's been playing that, and she's loving it. I started off playing pretty much a pre-con the Morph deck, and, you know, she beat me one game. Like, nice. I just didn't get what I needed. So then last night, I decide to, you know, she's like, let's play some more Commander. I'm like, I'm going to switch decks. I want you to experience some of the funness.
Oh, boy.
The way the guys do.
You didn't.
I did, and it was glorious.
Don't you realize she's going to hit you over the head with a chair?
No, she threatened to quit playing Magic altogether.
You don't bring Atraxa out the second time you play Commander with someone.
I brought Atraxa out. It was amazing.
You let her play Atraxa. You're supposed to bring her in. What's the matter with you?
They don't let me play it at work anymore. Nobody lets me play it. I just wanted to play it.
It's Atraxa. That thing is obnoxious. You're supposed to give it to her.
You let her win. Classic.
You let the wife win the game.
And that dude, turn three or turn four, Teferi.
Yeah, you are a terrible human being.
And it's Teferi, so I'm doubling. And then I get Oath of Teferi turn six. So I'm doubling that, and then at the end I'm proliferating. Like, I got to, like, eight in, like, a round.
And you wonder why she wanted to quit. I mean, come
on. Oh, she was salty.
Yeah.
Just salty. She's like, I'm like, okay, wait, I'll switch decks.
Yeah.
And I went to the pre-con Jess Guy deck, and I did okay with that.
The problem is the Atraxa deck, the deck box is literally made of salt. And it just spreads all over the table. You don't do it.
Yeah, she threatened to come into the podcast tonight, but I don't think she heard me talking about Atraxa, so this is good. But it was definitely I think it was just something she had to experience. I got to be honest with you.
Eventually, yes. This isn't like Dark Souls. You don't do the final boss right at the end of the tutorial. You let her win some games, or you let her play with Atraxa, so she gets hooked, and you say, "Well, this is actually mine. You need to build something to beat this." And then she can't. But then at that point, whatever, you've got her hooked.
Well, I mean, I've got the other deck. There's another deck that's almost as bad. It's the Populate deck that I've made almost as bad, with things like Anointed Procession, Crested Sunmare. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Let her play that deck.
Maybe I'll let her play Atraxa when I play that deck.
Yeah, there you go. Let her experience the power of the dark side with the evil angel Phyrexian thing, and then, you know, at least, like I said, at that point she'll be really hooked because she'll realize how quote-unquote fun Commander can be.
I mean, she was so pissed off.
I don't blame her.
I mean, she was just It was very, very upset at me. Yeah. And Isabel's sitting there because, you know, we were sitting upstairs because we wanted to be with her, nearby her, which is where we have her little sick bed. And she just kind of looks over at me and she just kind of does this little shake of her head like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, because when you showed me Commander, you played Atraxa. I played some freaking precon and I felt the same way. I'm like, I don't like this format because that deck exists. Atraxa is an abomination. I mean, granted, if I had Atraxa, I'd play it all the time, so I understand, but no.
Oh, and it's so much fun. she had a good point, too. The deck I got, I traded one of my precons to one of the students for. Mm-hmm. Like, just flat out, it was a fair trade. But it doesn't have any of the commander lands. So I actually took $12 this week, went on TCG Player. I think I did some from Kerwin's.
Mean and rotten, horrible person.
What's that, dear?
Mean and rotten, horrible person.
There it is. There it is.
Never playing with you.
I'm on your side, Wendy. I fully
he
feel
says
your
he's
pain.
On your side. So
see, everyone agrees with me.
Atraxa is wrong.
Atraxa is wrong. I love it. But I did buy her the lands. They're
good, okay.
So, you know, it's kinda she was right. She's like sitting there going, wait a second, how are you tapping for two? And I'm like, oh, you don't have those lands. And then I'm like, well, you got to have a command tower. Didn't have a command tower. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let me grab you the Soul Ring. Oh, no Soul Ring.
One of these days you're going to wake up and she's going to be standing over you with a knife. Just warning you now.
So, yeah. So that was something else that happened this weekend. So I think what we should do now is get right into main phase before I get divorced, which has got to be some sort of
record. Not going to be a divorce. It's straight up murder.
Main phase.
Okay, main phase. Welcome back, everybody. So in the 10 days or so since we've recorded, tons have happened. So we're gonna go through this stuff as best we can. Hopefully.
So much has happened. We're just gonna glaze right over the Mythic Championship that just happened.
Which, you know what, the Mythic Championship was really good.
It was good.
I can't say enough good about the Mythic Championship.
It didn't have Oko, so it was fine.
Yeah, well, nothing has Oko now.
No, modern, vintage, yeah. Legacy. That's it.
But basically, Theros, the big thing, I think the big news that's come out the last week or so is they've started, and I think it has to mainly do with the Game Awards after party, the Theros and the event that they did there. So we have some spoilers. We have some, I won't call them spoilers, but we do have some preview cards that were released this week.
Well, it kind of confirms some spoilers. nudge. Since Elspeth was one of the cards that was opened in the that whole booster
pack. I think Ashiok was too. I remember seeing that Ashiok.
No, Ashiok wasn't opened in that. There was hints of Ashiok. There was a card that had Ashiok in it. That hasn't been quote unquote confirmed yet. But Elspeth, the alternate art Elspeth of all things, that person. You think about that. How lucky was that person that they pulled the full art Elspeth in random booster packs they got from South Carolina.
During the whole Oko thing, how lucky was it?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so a couple things were confirmed with that. But yeah, they started their slow trickle of Theros previews.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we're using, if in case anyone wishes to follow along, we are on scryfall.com right now. So, and they do have it right there, Theros. So you guys can feel free. I'm not going to throw it on the screen, mostly because I don't want to. They, you know, they've got about, I want to say, 15 normal cards, and then they've got the lands. And so, I mean, the big thing is, one of the things I'm really looking forward to is we're getting Sagas back.
Yes, that is cool.
So that's, you know, that's kind of exciting. I like Sagas. I think they were a really great addition from Dominaria, and I'm glad to see them make a return.
They actually, I know they mentioned this, that they were not originally in the card file for Theros, but they did so well in Dominaria, they went back to the Theros file and crammed some in there because they're like, holy crap, these are really good, and they're perfect thematically for Theros. So,
they really are.
Yeah,
so I'm
super stoked to see them back.
So, you know, I mean, we don't have to go like line by line on all these. I mean, no. We definitely could talk about the theme boosters. Those are going to have some... Here's the thing about the theme boosters. I don't think any of these are going to see competitive play. I think the cost is too high.
There's a couple that are maybe fringe playable that have some interesting effects. But I don't think they're intended to be standard playable.
So, no, they'd have to be in then what are they going to be? Because here's the thing. If they're only in theme packs, it's not like you can draft them.
No, you can't.
It'd be one thing if they were limited, and you're not going to use a theme pack to do something like a sealed.
Yeah, so what these the reason that they're in the theme packs, and Watsy talked about this, was that the theme boosters are geared more towards newer players. That's why they're like a white booster, a blue booster, a black booster. So if newer players, they have their mono black deck, mono red deck. That doesn't really do much of anything, you know, cohesive. But they have these cards in there for them to give them an experience of what something that's, you know, somewhat slightly powerful could be. Obviously, they're not the greatest thing in the world, but I think... I know that Deathbellow Warcry, I guess in Commander people are talking about that one being potentially very good. Underworld Sentinel could see some play. The Hydra looks pretty good. Hydra's actually not that
bad. The Hydra's probably the best one so far.
I like the Underworld Sentinel personally.
Well, he's, let me see, he's 3 colorless, 2 black.
Yeah.
It says, whenever he attacks, exile target creature card from your graveyard. When he dies, put all cards exiled with it onto the battlefield. It's okay, but there's a lot of removal that's not death. That's my problem. A lot of this has... It just isn't... I don't know. Eight casting costs?
Yeah, they're not meant to be Questing Beast.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. In a world of Questing Beast, I mean, how many of these die to... You know, well, they all die to Questing
Beast. They all die to Questing Beast. Well, actually, no. The Hydra does not die to Questing Beast, nor does the Terror of Mount Velis.
No, because isn't a Questing Beast Death Touch?
Yeah, but the Iron Scale Hydra prevents the damage, and the Terror of Mount Velis has Double Strike.
Oh, yeah.
So.
True. But it's just, they're not that great.
The Grasping Giant might be good in a control deck.
You and your Esper. You dirty Esper player. So let's get out of the theme packs. I mean, they've got the 2 Planeswalkers, obviously, from the Planeswalker decks.
There's at least one more, too, coming.
I'm saying the Sculptor of Fears and Undaunted Hero, those are stupid.
Yeah, are the Planeswalker deck ones. Yeah,
That's what I'm saying.
Disregard.
Let's skip those. The one thing I'm kind of liking is, I don't know why I like Daxos Blessed by the Sun, but for 2-drop and, you know, Devotion to White, I see White Weenie becoming a thing again.
Yeah, there's definitely enough there, and he would be a very solid 2-drop for that deck. I know in the event that they had, he was in that deck, and he was all right. I know I tried to make a point to kill him as often as I could whenever I saw him, but he has potential. Very aggressively costed, I think.
Well, definitely very aggressively costed.
I mean, you drop him on turn 2. If you played another creature on turn 1, I mean, it's a 2/3 for 2. That's already relevant. Nice fat butt. And then, you know, the more stuff you play, the bigger his butt gets. He kind of goes to Chick-fil-A every day, I guess.
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? You played Atraxa.
I think the other big card here is that I don't know. I think I get the feeling Wizards of the Coast was sitting there and going, wow, we really miss Curious Obsession. I'm sorry that rotated out. Can we make it any better? Well, we could make it, you know, instead of 1 blue, make it a blue and a white, and, you know, also give it 1/1 and lifelink. Sure. Let's do that. It's basically like, oh, here, Esper, have a present.
Mm-hmm. Or even as flyers.
Staggering Insight, a white and a blue, so a yellow card, obviously. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has lifelink. And whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. It's Curious Obsession on crack.
Mm-hmm. It does cost twice as much.
Oh, shut the hell up.
It also, another improvement is it doesn't have the rider where if you didn't attack, it gets sacrificed. Because that was on Curious Obsession. If you didn't attack with that creature, you had to sacrifice the Curious Obsession.
Nerd!
I could see this being played in Azorius Flyers, Esper Hero.
I think Esper is coming back. I think Esper Control. I don't even think it needs to be Hero. Like, the things we're seeing now, as far as Esper goes, I mean, don't get me wrong, green is still
the sacrifice deck is still really good.
Yeah, it is.
The sacrifice deck is the best deck in the
format. But the green is still broken.
Green is very, very good.
I mean, green's just ridiculous at this point.
And they went and printed another nasty green card anyway, so.
Which one would you be thinking of?
Setessan Champion.
Yeah. It's a 3-drop.
Yeah, 2 and green. Nice. 2 and green for 1/3. Has Constellation, that's coming back. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Sedestan Champion and draw a card. Because, you know, green needs help.
As we are a standard podcast, and we're rather new, we may have some newer listeners. What's Constellation?
Constellation basically just is an ability that cares about enchantments entering the battlefield.
Okay.
It's coming back from Original Theros. I wasn't around for that release, so this is the first time that I'll be experiencing Constellation. But I think it's basically... it has no rules meaning. So this ability could show up in any set. They're just calling it Constellation because it's a Theros thing. So it could show up.
It looks to me like it's whenever it comes in with a creature and it says whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield, you're going to put a 1/1 counter on said creature. At least in the 3 Constellation cards we have here. I think there are some misses. I think Memory Drain is a miss. I mean, I know that's a reprint, isn't it?
I don't know if it's a reprint, but it's one of those cards where it's...
It'll see play in Limited, but that's it.
It'll see play, maybe Fringe play in Limited, because they always have the counterspell do this, and it usually costs it 3. This one costs 4, so I don't know. It's not that great. I know I only cast it a couple times in that event, and I was kind of sad every time I did.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they're bringing back basically Escape is kind of like flashback for creatures, but you have to exile other, you know, cards out of your graveyard to do it.
The new Elspeth also has Escape, and playing against it, I think that this Elspeth will see some significant play.
Elspeth will see play because of the Escape mechanic, the fact that it can keep coming back.
It's very good. It's very hard to keep her down if you have a deck, like, you know, if things are going to be dying on a regular basis or just getting put in your graveyard for whatever reason, it's just going to keep coming back. It's almost like History of Benalia with buyback.
I kind of wonder if, like, a sacrifice deck could become, you know, like green, what, black and white. No, I doubt it.
Abzan? I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, so those are the cards. Like I said, scryfall.com. This is very, very, very early. There'll be far more cards coming. I think they're putting 1 or 2 out next week for the holiday. And then, I mean, the minute Christmas is over, I'm sure they're going to put their foot to the pedal.
Yeah, they said the Monday after Christmas is when the previews start full bore.
So, and we'll be here for that because, you know, we record on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
So, there. I mean, but that's it. So, again, scryfall.com is where we were for that. Let's pivot off of that because, I mean, you got to see some of these cards in action over this weekend with the Game Awards After Party event.
Yes. So they did the Game Awards last weekend, and I guess it's just a thank you to the players of Arena or whatever. They had an event where you could play with some of the new cards from Theros as a singleton deck. There was one for Elspeth, one for Ashiok, which was Dimir Colors. And they threw in a nice little twist in that there were vintage cards in these decks. And not only vintage cards, there was Power 9.
Each deck they had Black Lotus.
Each deck
there.
Had Black Lotus. The Elspeth deck had Mox Pearl, Swords to Plowshares. The Ashiok deck had Ancestral Recall, Mox Sapphire, Mox Jet, Black Lotus.
It was
Lotus.
Ridiculous.
It was crazy. It was so much fun to play these cards.
I did get a few games in, and I got to cast a Black Lotus for the first time in, you know, many, many, many years.
Yeah, and it just, for anyone who ever was, especially newer players, who always misunderstood, why is Black Lotus good? You can only use it once. You could put the Ashiok Planeswalker into play on turn 1, and that basically won you the game right there.
And that's just it. I mean, it's obvious to me why they did this whole event, is that, you know, looking at this, I think they did this event to kind of start testing Pioneer.
I think they might be testing Pioneer, but I also think they might be testing Vintage Cube.
Yes. There's been whispers about that, that they're thinking about putting together a Vintage Cube.
If they do that, I will be playing Arena until they shut the lights off at WotC, because I love Vintage Cube.
I know you do.
It's great. I mean, how, like, what other places can you go where you can be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to go Forest, Mox Emerald, Channel, Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn. Have fun. I mean, come on. Or, you know, you can sneak attack in a Blightsteel Colossus on turn one.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And so, I mean, it's I'm hoping that this is where they're going with this. Obviously, this was just a test and see how the system handled cards that are, you know, not from the normal set of things that are available to Arena. But since they were doing that, they've done that with the Momir event with like Grizzlebrand and stuff like that. So they're obviously testing older cards. A lot of these cards aren't Pioneer legal. I mean, obviously Black Lotus isn't Pioneer legal. But
I think they're Vintage Cube, but I also think they're testing. I think they're testing the idea of the mechanics. I'm sure they're finding some way to mass program in mechanics, which is really the tough part of getting Pioneer in here, is the sheer level of interaction and mechanics that are going to happen with things from Return to Ravnica forward.
Yeah, and I can say that this event went on without a hitch. I didn't run into any issues as far as cards working the way they were supposed to work. I had a ton of fun. I had a lot of insta scoops to like turn one Thief of Sanity, which was, you know, kind of fun.
Shut up.
There were many a game where I killed the opponent with their own cards.
Yeah. Shocker, control player. So, I mean, it was fun. I got to play a little bit. I really didn't win too many times because every time I started to sit down to play, something would come up. And like I said, I mean, the one problem I have with with their timing on this is that it's only a weekend. And it was the weekend before, you know, the weekend before Christmas. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I kind of stumbled onto it myself. I didn't know they were playing it either. And then I saw a tweet about it, and I was like, wait, what is this event? What's going on? So I read about it, and I'm like, oh, Power 9. Where do I sign?
It's like I wish WotC would have, you know, maybe kept it up a little longer.
Yes, please.
And maybe instead of the Brawl event going till January 16th, this I would have paid for. You know, keep this going until next month. But because, again, I don't know that you're going to be able to get enough, you know, user information, too, about this stuff. But
well, I don't know if they would have been able to keep this event going until January because it's only two decks. So
yeah, it's two decks. And
they automatically and they only ever paired you against the other deck. So there was never a mirror match.
Right. And it was pre-cons. And pre-cons can be a pain in the ass.
And they were singleton as well.
Yeah.
So it really, I mean, like, what I would do is, when I was playing, if I didn't have a ridiculous hand, I'd mulligan, and if it was not ridiculous enough, I'd scoop and try again.
Yeah.
Until I got the ridiculous hand and then made them scoop.
So, that was cool. I would like to see them do more of that.
Yes, please.
And I'd like to see them keep it longer, but...
Yeah, they could have gone at least a couple more days, I think.
Right, and... So you've gotten, you know, there was other news that came about Theros Beyond Death, obviously. This is where they're going to start releasing news about the set. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning something about changes to the collector boosters.
Yes. So the collector boosters, they're changing the way that the types of cards that you're going to see in the collector boosters.
Are they taking away the lands from Brawl?
Well, let me see. So... It's possible that those might still exist. I'm double checking here. No, I'm thinking the lands will still be there because the way it's going to work is there's going to be 8 foil commons, uncommons, or basic land. And I believe the basic land is any basic land from, is any of the regular basic lands from the Theros set.
Right.
And it'll be foil. There's going to be one card from an ancillary product, which is going to be either the theme booster rares, Planeswalker deck exclusive cards, which means you could probably get, you know, the Thornwood Falls again, and then the Biobox promo as well, probably non-foil. There's going to be one rare or mythic with extended art, another foil rare or mythic, but also foil or extended art frame cards can appear in that slot. There's going to be one saga, one constellation showcase card, which is they showed what one of them would look like on Scryfall.
Right, Cestus and Champion.
Yeah,
or whatever
so
it is
it's the enchantment creatures are going to get that special showcase. It almost looks like the FNM,
right?
Dark frame full art type thing.
Yep.
So one of those or a borderless planeswalker card. The constellation showcase cards can be gods or demigods, which means there's multiple of both of those coming up in the set. And the saga that shows up in your booster pack will always be a rare, which is nice. So right there, you're guaranteed at least three rares in every pack. Possibly up to three mythics.
Right.
There's also going to be a foil constellation showcase card or borderless planeswalker card. And the constellation showcase cards can be gods or demigods. So again, there's a chance for another rare or mythic. There's going to be two foil showcase Nyx lands, those quote-unquote Pokemon lands, which I think are freaking amazing.
They're Pokemon lands, but go on.
But they're beautiful.
Okay.
And then also one, like they did in Eldraine, one foil double-sided token. So they switched things up a little bit. I think they sort of packed a couple more goodies into the pack itself. They did mention something about the price point. I don't think it was in this article that I'm reading, but they basically said they were testing out the price. It makes me think that it's possible that they may lower it.
I don't think so. If
they
anything, raise
they
it.
Probably won't, but I think they might. It's possible. Well, I wouldn't put it past them either way.
You know, we'll talk about this in Maine too, but I'm not really impressed with WotC lately as far as being there for the consumer. Mm-hmm. I don't suspect that the collector boosters will get lowered. In fact, I think they'll get raised. I think WotC is seeing dollar signs. You know, that being said, you know, I'll get a couple. I think I've opened, I think I cracked maybe four. Mm-hmm. You know, so I may have spent $100 on collector boosters. And I've gotten some decent stuff out of them. You know, but for the most part, I'm okay with it. But that seems to be pretty much our best main. You know, we'll talk about theme boosters another time. But, you know, I mean, we should probably get right into combat because we're, you know, getting towards middle of the show here. So,
combat phase.
All right. This week we kind of, it was also announced while we were on our little mini hiatus there, that Arena Worlds this year, which is I think in March?
February, in Honolulu.
February. Instead of doing it the way they have, which has been strictly paper, where, you know, they would have multiple events of, you know, a sealed of some sort, a standard, and I think a modern.
Something like that, yeah. It was multiple formats over multiple days.
Yep. Instead of that, it's come down that they are going to be 100% Arena. So, yeah, so it's going to be 100% standard. I'm sorry. I don't think Historic is ready for Worlds primetime yet. I'll be very surprised if they do something with Historic.
Right. I don't think they will. Yes.
But what do you think? Like, how's this sitting with you?
I have mixed feelings. I think eventually this is a good idea. Eventually.
Okay.
Because the biggest reason for me is integrity. You can't cheat on Arena. You can't.
Okay.
You can't. The system won't let you do, you know, you can't forget your triggers. Your opponent can't forget their triggers. You can't stack your deck. You can't mark your sleeves. Can you hear them?
Wow. That just happened.
And, you know, in some respects, in certain respects, it does look better at times than seeing it on paper. I do like the being able to see the overhead shot with the cards and people tapping and pointing at things and everything else. I love that. I still love that. If it went to this format eventually, I would have been like, okay. I mean, at this point, probably 2-3 years down the road, they've worked out all the bugs, theoretically. You know, there's more formats, theoretically.
Right.
And again, the integrity is there that you don't have to, there's never a chance of a tarnished world championship because somebody cheated. But that being said, doing it this year, I think is a bad idea because, like you were saying, it's only standard. And
it's a five or six at that point. It's six, you know, format. It's not format, but six releases, six, you know,
six sets.
Booster. Huh? Yeah, six sets.
Yeah.
There's only going to be six sets. It's going to be Guilds, you know, Allegiance, Spark, 2020, Throne, and Theros.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a healthy shook-out standard.
It's not a fully fleshed standard.
No. I mean, yes, we definitely needed enchantments. Theros being mainly enchantments, it looks like that's a great thing. I disagree almost on every point. I don't like cheating, but I'm old school, and I like paper. I like the shuffling of cards.
I'm not saying I don't like it.
I know, but it feels like we're losing something with Arena. And I understand the need to have it, and I understand that esports are a thing, and I understand. And I work in IT. I mean, I'm not a technophobe by any stretch, but Arena is one of those things that it spells the death. It hurts the local game store, first of all.
Yes.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are game stores out there, including Gamers Revolt was talking about it this week, you know, of trying to find some way to do an Arena event. So there are stores that are trying to come up with ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But I just find that something like Worlds needs more than standard constructed. Now, yes, they can do a sealed event. They can. That is the only other thing you can do, you know, inside Arena. Is I don't think it's fair if you do draft because you're not drafting.
Yeah, no. That's
now, unless they're going to enable like actual drafting where you're drafting against other opponents using your friends list. Like, hey, if you got five other friends, you guys can group up and draft. Okay, you got me. Okay, now I'd be on board. But the set isn't ready. This program is not ready.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like right now it's not good. But if they got to a point where it was standard, Pioneer, I don't know, if Historic ever got fleshed out.
Or the Vintage Cube.
Or even the Vintage Cube. Could you imagine Worlds having Vintage Cube? I mean, that would be great.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be amazing. So.
No, it wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. Is that Worlds should also be a chance for WotC to really advertise their product. That's why they're doing Arena, and I understand that the flagship product is moving towards Arena, but you still are a card game.
Well, riddle me this.
Yeah.
What if the like again, I don't think they should have done it this year. So this is a pure hypothetical situation. What if the year they decided to move Arena to Worlds was the year they premiered all of this stuff, saying, "Hey, this is coming in the next update. Here's Vintage Cube. It's for Worlds, and then after the tournament's over, y'all get it."
Okay, let me ask you this. Does that mean that for Super Bowl 61, we should play Madden?
Well, that's not quite the same thing.
How do you figure?
That's not quite
Magic the same is thing. A card game. Magic, it's in the name. Like, you know, it's a trading card game. It's a card game. Now, I like being able to play Arena. I'm not, again, I love Arena. I love MTGO. I think the Super Bowl should be played with cards. I think they should have to go find the cards. I think they should have to memorize and learn how to play their deck. I don't think the trigger should happen.
Well, I mean,
for
these
them.
Are these. The, it's an invitation only event with the best players in the world. They don't
I get it.
Forget
the I get
triggers.
It.
This isn't some like person who spiked a GP showing up at this tournament.
I understand that, but what if they spiked a what if they spiked a player tour?
That's a lot harder to do.
It happens.
It's extremely, extraordinarily rare than that happens.
But here's
the thing. I would say the best case scenario for Magic going forward is not having it exclusively on Worlds, but also not exclusively on paper. They should make it a hybrid event.
I'd be okay with hybrid.
So if Vintage Cube,
I have
Cube,
a problem with no paper.
If Vintage Cube was on Arena, and that was the portion that they played online, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about cracking open a beta pack and building a friggin' cube. But it's.
I don't. No. I would rather have a vintage. I'd rather have Vintage Cube be paper because of the triggers, because of how you have to draft it, how things have to work for that. I would rather standard. Okay, these people who are in Worlds have played enough standard to where they should know a trigger. But there is a lot more randomness, I guess I'll say. There's a lot less likelihood of... I guess what I'm trying to say is that bad play in a Vintage Cube in paper will cost you a lot more than it will in Arena.
You get punished really hard for bad play in Vintage Cube.
Yeah, and you should.
Yeah, and it would still happen because regardless of whether or not the mistake was forgetting a trigger or not, your opponent is just basically waiting to crush you.
Right, but so, that's everybody.
Yeah, but it's I think it would be. I mean, it's 16 players, so they'd have to have two vintage cubes in paper online, which means they'd have to probably pay out a lot more in insurance than they'd want to, because people just don't have these cards floating around. There's a reason that it's a phantom event on Magic Online, because you can't redeem any of this stuff.
Right. I guess I would like to see.
Oh, I love paper too. I would rather it never changed. It stayed paper. Because it's really is the highest level of preparation and skill and memory and all of that stuff. And I totally agree with all that. I'm just thinking that unfortunately we're moving forward to a phase where digital is part of the world now. I don't think they should have made it only Arena, because again, it's only Standard. That's going to get real boring since it's a 3-day tournament.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they need to be doing something else other than Standard. So they should have, if they were going to do it like this, have Standard on Arena, do draft, you know, Theros Beyond Death draft or sealed or whatever in paper, or if they want to do it all online, hell, fire up MTGO.
Can't fire up MTGO.
No, that's a terrible
you
program.
Can't, the interface is horrible. It's
too many people
like
have
shit.
Lost PTQ invites because the system crashes.
It's not just that. It looks like crap.
Yeah, no.
It looks like 1998 code, which you know why?
I was being facetious.
Because it's 1998 code.
Yeah, I was joking around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still disagree. I think paper needs to still be the focus. I don't think there are some out there that are, you know, tinfoil hat time. Like, they're trying to kill paper. No, they're not trying to kill paper. But I think they're just trying to push Arena.
Yeah, and that's obvious what they're doing here, because this is the year it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be like, hey, look at this nice shiny thing. It's our big tournament. Let's embed our stream in more web pages so we get better views.
Right. So I guess with that, I mean, this could be, I don't know that we have a declared winner. What do you guys think? Let us know what you think, because that'll tell us who won this combat.
Yeah, we'll post a poll on Twitter.
But yes, because I definitely, you know, I just don't think that there is. I want to see more. So.
Yes, I agree with you on that aspect, but I think it's something that they should be doing down the line.
Okay.
Not this year, not next year, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. If you do it all in Arena, have the support to make it actually worth being on Arena. If you're going to make this move, do it so that there's actually multiple formats available to you, not just Standard, because it's going to get boring. And that's a shame, because this is World we're talking about.
Yeah. You're not wrong. But with that, I mean, let's go ahead and start moving off of this. Again, I would like to hear what you guys have to think. Please stop by the website, send us a Twitter, send us a Facebook, you know, comment on this video, however you want to do it. But let's go ahead and get right into
main phase.
Okay, main phase two. So we've got a few things. This is where we normally talk about Arena. The first thing, though, before we get into Arena, because I think Arena is going to take us right out of this game, right out of the night. There was another banning yesterday for
yes.
Pioneer, and it is going to be the last one of the year. You know, so we should talk about that, because even though we're a Standard podcast, Pioneer is still something that's near and dear to both of us. So with that, no surprise here, I guess. It's the last holdouts. Well, one is a surprise. The dead horse is a surprise. So, you know,
well,
basically,
they're both technically dead horses as far as this podcast is concerned.
Yeah, exactly. So, yesterday in Pioneer, they finally banned not only Oko, Thief of Crowns, which again,
yay,
we all knew was coming, but then they went ahead and also banned Nexus of Fate.
Yeah, I wasn't completely certain that I would have said I saw that one coming, but I'm not terribly upset either.
Really?
Not really. Because, I mean, even as someone who enjoyed playing the deck, the games do take forever once the lock is in place, because you have to manually go through the steps every time, because it's not an automatic infinite loop. So right. There is a chance for something to go wrong. There is a chance for your opponent to disrupt it somehow. And it takes a long time. I am still kind of, like, part of me is kind of sad to see it go, though, at the same time, because, you know, it's an interesting card.
You love that card.
I love that. I mean, you love that card, too.
I do, too. You're right.
But Oko needed to go.
Yeah, Oko Broko.
Oko, very Broko. Oko now banned in almost every constructed format outside of Legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy, Vintage, and Modern are the only constructed formats and Commander that is still.
And I have a feeling Modern won't be far behind.
That's Modern probably won't be too long, and I would not be surprised to see it go bye-bye in Commander.
I don't think they'll ban it in Commander. I don't think you can. I think there's plenty of answers for it in Commander, and you only have one.
True.
So,
but if it and it can't be your Commander because it's Commander, you can't have Planeswalkers.
But they're done doing bannings for a while, which I think is good because I think they were going a little crazy. I understand they were trying to get this established, but it's not just that you banned every week, but it was kind of what you were banning. Like, not only were you banning things in Standard, and somebody might be like, well, at least I could start building a Pioneer deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, we're going to also ban Once Upon a Time in Pioneer. It's like, well, crap, you know? And so it's kind of happened with Oko, the same thing. I'm okay with it. I'm glad they're taking a little bit of a break now, and they're going to come back to banning Pioneer, you know, once a month. The other, you know, so that was the Pioneer banning, but I really wanted to get into Arena because there was a whole lot of news this week on Arena. We did get the friends list finally. You and I are friends. Congratulations.
Yeah, that took only, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, no kidding. 2 years. I've been playing this for 2 years.
Kind of sad that it took them that long to do that.
And it was stupid that it didn't work, so.
I mean, it was literally like they're going to be like, done.
Yeah. So Arena now has a friends list. Feel free to friend us. Maybe we'll put our gamer tags up.
Sure.
So that's kind of exciting. You and I will use that once in a while. I will definitely use it with my son because he plays Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to use it with that. The other big news this week, it wasn't just a banning in Arena. During the state of the game, they talked about the friends list, and then they went into the suspensions.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. So with Historic, they're looking to do, which if you don't know what Historic is kind of an Arena-only diet Pioneer, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Yeah, it's basically the last rotation of Standard plus Throne of Eldraine plus, like, 12 cards.
Right. So it's kind of great. Historic's okay. We've talked about that, and it's not ready for prime time yet. But
not even close.
And then they went ahead and decided that instead of banning things, what they wanted to do was something called a suspension. So, and a suspension is basically, for all intents and purposes, it's a ban.
Yeah.
But it's a ban with an expiration date.
Yep. They get reevaluated, basically, at the end of the suspension. So they're going to, they suspend it for, what, 30 days?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the 30 days, they decide, do we want to keep them on the ban list or give them another lease on life? If they give the thumbs up, the card gets reintroduced back into the format, and they monitor it again. If it gets the thumbs down, it's banned and it's gone forever. Which, looking at the four cards that they picked, I suspect all four of them will be staying quite comfortably where they are.
Yeah. The cards that they suspended right now are Oko, Thief of Crowns, Field of the Dead, Once Upon a Time, and Veil of Summer.
And considering that all of those cards are banned in Standard and Pioneer, I see zero chance of them surviving in Historic.
Right. And I'm not sure how I feel about this because I don't know. For me personally, it's so easy to make a change to something in card format. Like, again, it's a really bad taste when... Now, Oko is one thing. Everybody can admit that. But there are some people that really enjoy playing Veil of Summer, even though some, you know, U.S. players hate it. You're kind of taking away the opportunity for people to play the cards they want to play in a format that's not going to last forever. You know,
well,
it's definitely... It's the frontier of... it's like Frontier for Pioneer. It's going to be a format that's going to pave the way for another format in Arena, meaning Pioneer. I don't know. Part of me's like, you know what? Let him sit. Like, what? You know, okay, Oko, fine. Field of the Dead,
the problem
fine.
The problem is that if they left these cards legal, all that was going to happen is that the meta would warp to the point where you're either playing these cards or you're playing to beat them. And all four of these cards have shown that you can build to beat them and you're still not going to beat them with any sort of regularity.
But how much meta is getting played in a Historic right now?
How much is Historic being played at all?
That's my question.
Yeah.
It's almost, honestly, there's a part of me that wonders if they're doing this just to kind of make us think that Historic is this thing we all want to play.
Well, they talked about Historic too, and this also confused the hell out of me. They were like, according to our data, almost three times as many people were playing Best of One Historic as opposed to Best of Three Historic. So we're going to focus on Best of One Historic.
Right.
Well, let's think about that for a second. First of all, your launch event for Historic was Best of One, and your Best of Three queues were hidden, so you had to do a bunch of clicks to find them. And Best of One games are typically done in one game because it's Best of One, whereas Best of Three can take up to three. So, of course, you're going to play three times as many Best of One games as you are Best of Three, and that's not even counting the fact that it's so much easier to find Best of One. It's like they're trying to find all these obvious little nits to pick to justify their decision that Historic is terrible, and they have no one to blame but themselves for that.
Right. So
that's another reason it pissed me off even more, because I wanted Historic to be good.
Yeah. I hope it does get good. Hopefully in March we'll see better cards that are released. And
nope.
What?
I have zero faith in that.
We'll see what happens.
Negative faith.
So, I mean, with that, that's kind of happened. So, with that, I mean, we'll see how things go with Historic and the suspension, the bannings. I mean, I do suspect those four will stay banned. I think Nexus will join it sooner than later.
True.
I don't think Teferi has anything to worry about.
No, Teferi is fine. It hasn't been banned in any format yet. It ain't going to happen.
No. So, I mean, but then the other thing that came out this week that you and I are going to love talking about is then they also talked about their event called Brawladays.
Brawladays,
yeah. And Brawladays has a subtitle on it, which is basically called Gimme, Gimme, Gimme Your Money.
Yeah.
Everybody, since Brawl has been announced, has asked the same question. Why in the world is Brawl one day a week? Well, Wizards decided that, okay, Brawl can be, you can play Brawl as much as you like. If.
Yeah, big if.
If you either give us, is it 10,000 gold and 2,000 coins, or?
I'd have to find it.
Well, I've got the state of the game open. So, it's ridiculous. It's horrible. It's a paywall to play Brawl.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah, it's 2,000 gem and 10,000 coin.
10,000 gold. I mean, that's...
like, and I understand what you're doing. I understand that part of what this is, you know what? We're all kind of sitting on our gold right now. Everybody probably has well over 100,000.
Not me.
Because the new set's coming. So everybody's trying to save their gold so that they can buy packs. I get that. I get it. So by making us spend 10,000, you're thinning it out a little bit, you know, to help your bottom line later. Sure.
I mean, I have 16,000 gold right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fork over 10,000 gold to play Brawl as much as I want when you can still do direct challenges on Brawl. You know? I mean, it's just, they push this format, then they let it die, then they bring it back, and now they're going to try to kill it again.
Right.
If they're going to kill it, just kill it. Because I personally really started to enjoy Brawl once it came out. I really did.
But you have to play it Wednesday night. Or you don't get to...
It just doesn't make any damn...
It's crap. This whole paywall thing, this is nothing more than a cash grab. I'm telling you right now, I won't do it.
If the format exists in Arena, you should be able to play the format whenever you want and get rewards without having to pay extra.
And that's just it. I am not going to do this for one reason. I do not want Wizards to take my... because that's just it. Realize this, folks. They are looking at everything you do in Arena. And they're using it to collate how you're playing and what you might want. If a lot of us go and pay for this, I guarantee you there will be more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we all shun it and we all sit there and say, I'm not doing this, no matter how much I want to play Brawl, well, now they might listen and say, okay, that didn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board. And it's the amount of money. $10,000 is too much. I might have paid for five. I might have done five.
I don't know either.
I would have an easier time doing it for five.
I don't think I would have done it for any amount, knowing that it's still available for free in other means. And the overall response on Twitter and Reddit has been overwhelmingly negative to this. People have basically been calling for players to boycott that particular event.
Well, I'm just doing the same thing. I don't want you to play it, guys.
Yeah, if you're listening to us, don't pay it. If you've already paid it, well, hey, I mean, if you're enjoying it, that's great, but don't do it again.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just it. The Brawl paywall is ridiculous.
So stupid.
It's.
I mean, you know, paying for drafts is one thing, because you're getting the packs, you're getting the cards. These are cards you've already purchased / traded in wild cards for. Why should you have to pay again to play them? It's like you go to a tournament, you pay an entry fee, that's fine. But then it'd be like paying extra for every match you play.
Right.
What?
It would be like a video arcade with a cover charge.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's like, okay, we want to go to Kerwin's and play FNM. Okay, well, the FNM entry is $5, but you also have to pay $15 to get in the store.
Yeah.
No.
No, actually, it's more, yeah. So, please don't use this. But, you know, do what you want. If you are enjoying it, that would be great.
Yeah, if you're having fun, that's fine. I mean, it's just, now, especially now that the friends list is here, there's really no reason to do this. If you're playing Brawl on Wednesday night, start firing out friends requests. I mean, unfortunately, it's not like you can tell the person, hey, I really enjoyed playing Brawl with you. Let's do this again. Here's my gamer tag. All you can do is, nice, good game. Hello, here you go.
They
nice.
Do need a check.
Nice.
I understand nice. That they don't want, you know.
I get that, too. I get that. But like, if it's private messaging, they shouldn't enable private messaging. So if you want to spam on somebody, and they can just block you.
Right.
You know, block reported, and then Watsy gets to see the chat log, and then you're banned. Have fun for being a troll.
So, okay. With that in mind, because we have to get out of here, because guess what I'm doing tomorrow? Rise of Skywalker, baby, so I want to get out of here so I can get to bed early.
End step.
So, we are at our end step. Basically, we want to again thank you guys tonight for hanging out with us. We're going to start picking up our table here, rolling up our play mats, putting the cards back in the box, you know, grabbing our pizza boxes and putting them by the trash because, damn it, your mother does not work in this store. But, you know, before we get out of here, both Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Just look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at ArmekWRX. I was trying to go on to do some Vintage Cube last week. Didn't get to do that. Obviously, it's Wednesday night right now while we're recording, so I can't do it tonight. Hopefully, what's that, Christmas night? Once everybody's gone to bed? I can't do that because I work
Tonight. Dude, spend some time with your damn family, Scrooge McDuck. I'm going to do that. Don't play Magic. Jesus.
I'm going to try to see if I can squeeze in maybe this weekend in the evening. Maybe I'll do a Vintage Cube at that point because I really want to play it. I haven't had a chance to play it. I have enough tickets for one entry. I'm hoping I can parlay that into a couple more entries. But anyway, RMechWRX on Twitch. I link to the Planeswalkers Podcast channel as well. So if you watch me on my channel, it'll also be on that channel. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show, where we'll be posting a poll tonight about combat, at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And also, my personal Twitter is at WRBenson. Now listen, I don't put much up there. To tell you the truth, I'm really on there to just, you know, be following Betty White's personal Twitter. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalkers on Facebook. It's facebook.com/planeswalkers. Like and follow our page, and you can watch us do this lovely recording where I am dressed like Santa. So, you know, just come and check that out there. We'd love to have you there.
Nobody's ever going to be sitting on your knee, buddy. Not going to happen.
Too many jokes. Go on.
Finally, having gone off the rails a couple times tonight, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices, or deck choices, like don't play Atraxa. So if you want to send us an email to do that, or just to let us know how the show is doing, give us some advice, tell us how well or terrible we're doing, hopefully well, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. Hashtag don't play Atraxa.
My wife is laughing. She must have just caught up to the don't play Atraxa. But, you know, with that being said, we are still in the middle of our iTunes review contest. You still have time to put some in. We actually haven't had one since our last show. Please go to iTunes, guys. Leave a review for the show. If you leave a review for the show, we will hold a drawing. If we get 5 reviews this month, we will hold a drawing for the first week in January and give away 3 Arena promo packs. So we'd really love for you guys to leave us reviews. They don't have to be positive, but we encourage it. It really brings some eyes to the show. But with that, I want to thank you all for listening tonight. Aramis and I are so grateful to be here. We should be recording next Monday. It is the holiday season, so we're going to reserve the right to not record. But I think we're going to try to do one more in before the holidays. But with that, this is Will Benson saying thank you so much, guys. We're coming to the end of our first year, and this is a dream come true for both of us. So for Aramis Perez, again, Will Benson saying thank you. Have a great week, and remember to always leave some of your land untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.